Okay, as you know, if you've been here, we're working our way through Acts, life in the Spirit, and we've been talking about Stephen, and he has been stoned to death by the Sanhedrin. The persecution has broken out against the church in Jerusalem. People are being scattered. Philip has moved to Samaria, where he has been preaching the good news, and people are receiving it. And that is kind of where we left off. If you have your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 8, or if you have your phones or tablets or whatever you use, Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 9 through 13 today. And I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read all of it here at the beginning, and you won't have to stand through the rest of the service. I'll give you a little bit of a break today. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9, it says, "Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in this city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is rightly called the great power of God.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw." Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. Now, these Samaritans, they had been amazed and seduced by magic, by sorcery for a long time. They'd become addicted to Simon and his deception. However, they were even more amazed by the straightforward truth of the good news. They believed in Jesus. Simon himself longed for something that was real, because he, of all people, knew how empty his pagan magic really was. And so he believed as well. He was amazed at the power of God. We'll see next week how he got a little bit off track, and he somehow wanted to buy God's power to use for his own selfish purpose. But nevertheless, for today, the powerful simplicity of the gospel, it resonated with these people in Samaria. And for once in their lives, they were amazed by the truth, rather than mesmerized by deception. You see, the truth about Jesus will have a powerful effect on those who receive it. We're going to talk about power this morning and how it affects people. I want us to make three observations about power that will help us to recognize how amazing it really is to have a living and loving relationship with the Son of God. You see, the first thing is that power attracts people. People, they like power. Don't we usually want to get the most powerful car or the most powerful pickup truck? You know, the most powerful chainsaw or the rifle that shoots the farthest, that has the most power to it? How about power tools? You know, if you get one of those cordless ones, the more volts, the better it is. And so we always want more and more volts. And we're up to 48, 52 volts. And vroom, it just really roars. A few years ago, we had the Advent candle set up, and we couldn't just light one of those little flicker things. We got a torch. You pull the trigger. You know, more power, it just has more to it. We like power. Powerful fireworks that'll shoot higher and louder and bigger. Powerful muscles. And the list goes on and on and on. Some of you may even like spending power. Most of us would probably like a little bit more of that. See, we're impressed by these sports teams, these athletes, and how they show their power to excel and to win. History has even shown that some people have very powerful personalities. They have charisma. They somehow are able to attract people who are willing to follow them because people want to be around power. Leaders like this have accomplished amazing things because people are attracted to them and want to help them carry out their dreams and their wishes. Simon, in our scripture this morning, He had a following because he had convinced these people that somehow he had power. Perhaps he'd been able to perform some miracles through his sorcery. Now, that shouldn't really surprise us, because if you go back to the Old Testament, when Moses confronted Pharaoh, they performed some of the same miracles. His magicians were able to do some of these things through their sorcery. It wasn't just a trick, but it was witchcraft, which the Bible speaks strongly against. So whether Simon really had some kind of supernatural powers, or somehow he had just convinced the people that he did, there was no doubt that he had power and he had influence over these people in this city in Samaria. Verse 11 tells us they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. Now, if you study the history of religious revivals, you can see that people are also attracted to spiritual power. Healing crusades have drawn millions of people over the years, because God's power was at work in those places. Aside from facing times when our only answer must come from a higher power, there is something within each and every one of us that wants to see something supernatural happen. You see, in its purest form, I believe that something is a genuine hunger for the living God. However, in its fallen form, it can become a very unhealthy infatuation with the spiritual forces that are out to do us harm. And you see, that leads us to our second point, and that is that power without truth is dangerous. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. All you have to do is look at the Philippines. Years ago, President Marcos, he was elected as president of the Philippines, and he started off as a very good man doing great things for the country. But he had absolute power. And his rule, and it went on and on and on. Eventually, he declared dictatorship and had a bunch of people put to death. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, Simon had seduced these people for a long time with his sorcery. His desire for power over others was corrupt and it was evil. He enjoyed being the center of attention. He enjoyed being the person of power and prestige. And no doubt he enjoyed the money that he received for his spiritual services. Now, it's probably safe to say that Simon was addicted to the approval and the attention that the people gave him. Now, some would argue that there are neutral powers in our world today that roam around, that go around, that we don't really understand. In fact, it is popular to believe that there are many religions that are good and moral, that we should not say anything against them. And those who say that will probably also add that all roads lead to God. It doesn't matter what God you believe in, as long as you are sincere. But the Bible teaches us differently. We have one creator who is Lord of heaven and of earth. And he has explicitly told us not to have any other gods in our lives, and not to make any other kinds of images or substitute gods to worship. In Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 12, it tells us our struggle, you know, here on this earth, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we know that there are other powers, there are other spiritual forces that are around us. But Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul actually goes on and he further illustrates with this spiritual armor, this suit of spiritual armor that every believer must have in order to stay strong. And the very first piece of armor that he mentions is the belt of truth. Now, all of the parts of the armor are important. But for now, we're just going to focus on this first one, the belt of truth. And we're going to talk about truth. See, Jesus used the word of truth to describe himself. Or perhaps he used himself to describe what real truth was. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as much as people often need power in their lives to help them meet their needs, they need to be very careful. If they sacrifice truth for power, they could be getting into a lot more than they bargained for. Power without truth will seduce you. Power without truth will corrupt you. And power without truth, it can kill you. If an electrician does not know the truth about a particular electrical wire, you know, whether it's 110 or 220, he usually will not just go and grab a hold of it. See, if you grab 110 volts, it will give you a pretty good shock. If you grab 220 volts, it could be the last time you ever do that. It could end your life very easily. Yeah, we need to keep the truth always before us as we seek God and as we seek his power. Now, the Samaritans that Philip came and he ministered to, they had been under the influence of this witchcraft for quite a long time. We read that the people of all classes, both the high and the low, paid very close attention to what Simon told them. They were seduced by his power because they did not have the truth to guide them. However, the Lord knew exactly what they needed. And so he sent Philip to tell them the truth and to show them what real power was all about. And that leads us to the final point. And that is that the power of the truth leads people to freedom. Now, it might be helpful for us to look back a few verses at Philip's arrival to the city, which we looked at last week. In chapter 8, at verses 5 through 8, it says, Philip went down to the city in Samaria, and he proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowd heard Philip and saw the signs and miracles he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. See, Philip, he was not out to make a name for himself, nor was he after the people's money like Simon probably was. In fact, Philip would have been hurting deep down inside. His close friend Stephen had just been falsely accused of blasphemy. He'd been stoned to death by the authority of the Sanhedrin, you know, the religious rulers back in those days. And on top of all of that, the church where he had had fellowship for quite a while, where he had loved and he had labored, it was being scattered and reduced because of the persecution that was taking place. Gone from thousands of members, maybe just down to a few. In fact, Philip himself had to get out of Jerusalem in order to avoid arrest and possibly execution himself. He remembered that something that Jesus would have said just before he ascended into heaven, to go into all the world, you know, about the Samaritans and even about Gentiles receiving the good news of Jesus. And so with a sense of mission and a sense of purpose, he headed towards a city in Samaria to tell the people all about Jesus. Well, as we saw last week, verses 5 through 8, God showed up in a mighty way. God showed up in a big way and began healing people and setting them free from demon possession. Now, since most of them were somehow involved in Simon's witchcraft, there was likely a lot of demonic activity that was taking place, a lot of bondage that was in their lives. The same demons that Simon had perhaps unknowingly introduced into these people's lives, they were shrieking their way out as Philip preached to them. And as he laid hands on them and prayed over them, those who were sick, they became well. Those who were paralyzed, they were able to stand up and to walk. So instead of this dark and mysterious, oppressive atmosphere, the Bible tells us that there was great joy in that city. See, the truth, it was having a powerful effect on these Samaritans. They were being set free and they were finding forgiveness and healing. The impact of the gospel was so great that even Simon himself believed. The very one who had led these people deeper and deeper into this darkness. Verse 13 tells us Simon himself believed and was baptized. He followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Now, Bible teachers, some of them find it necessary to interject here to say that Simon was not sincere. Therefore, he was not really saved. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But for now, let's just take Luke at his word for what he has written here. Even Simon, who may have claimed to be God, a God himself, experienced God's power, and he was forgiven for all of his dark and dirty deeds, found freedom because it had come to Samaria, and he was baptized. Now, there's more that we can say about this story if we want to get into it. For one, God's grace can even reach the worst of sinners. Simon had led hundreds, if not thousands, of people deeper and deeper into this darkness, into the sin of witchcraft. Who knows how low he himself had sunk into his own wickedness and depravity as he was involved in all of this. Now, as we'll see, he still had some issues that he may not have been willing to work his way through and to face. But nevertheless, God's grace was still available to him. He was amazed by God's love and God's power, so much so that he believed in Jesus. He was baptized to show that he wanted to follow the one true God. As we wrap it up, let me say this again. Please hear this. The truth about Jesus will have a powerful effect on those who receive it. There are other kinds of spiritual forces that are out there. Many people will look for answers where there are no answers to be found. Unfortunately, when people don't know the truth about Jesus, the spiritual power, the spiritual force that they might find can cause them great harm. The good news is that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And he can turn spiritual darkness into joy and into freedom. The message today is simple. If you have never, ever been amazed by the love of God and the power of his truth, then get ready for something good. He loves you. And he will forgive you for every wrong that you have ever done or that you have ever said. He can heal you and deliver you from darkness and from whatever bondage it is that the enemy has tried to keep you in for so long. Do you want to know that God is real? Talk to him. Ask him to help you find his love and his truth, and he will guide and direct you. He will come and meet with you. And you will be amazed at how he changes your life around. His grace is powerful enough to help you if you would only call on him. The question is, are you willing to be amazed by grace? Are you willing to be amazed by God?